Roll down tide.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Beer Garden presented by Oxford Crystal.
I'd like to hear a little bit more conviction in your take, though. There was a lot of maybes, a lot of what ifs, a lot of questions. You need to just get on here. You need to fire and put me in a position where I have to tell you that you're wrong.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
Nice. Nice.
I'm your host, Neil McCready. Today on the show, kind of a Major League Baseball draft version of the program. We're going to talk to Jason Mize, the father of Casey Mize, who pitched in Oxford on Friday night. Ole Miss defeated Mize and Auburn on Friday in the last home series of the season. But we're going to talk about Casey Mize's draft position, sort of his career, what it's been like as a parent, as your son is one of the top names being mentioned to go first overall in the Major League Baseball draft. So we'll talk to Jason Mize a little bit. The Detroit Tigers have the first pick in that draft. Evan Woodbury covers the Tigers for MLive.com. He'll join us on the podcast for a few minutes as well, talk about what the Tigers might do, what the Tigers might do at the deadline, and then just a couple of real quick thoughts about sort of some pace of play stuff around Major League Baseball. So it's a shorter beer garden than usual. There's a trivia question in the middle. You'll want to stick around for that. You can win some cash value from LB's. Get a gift certificate, $25 gift certificate from LB's Meat Market in Oxford, LB's Food Truck on Twitter. So we'll tell you about that in a little bit. First, let me tell you about the Oxford Crystal Highway 6 West in Oxford, right next to the Oxford Exxon. They've got all the meal deals going right now, $2 meal deals, $3 meal deals, $4 meal deals. It's hot outside. The Fruit Punch Slushy is available. That's made with Sprite. Refreshing, tasty drink there from Crystal. And, of course, they have breakfast, the Sunriser Combo, the $3.99 Sunriser Combo. Two biscuits, the hash browns, and a drink of your choice there at the Oxford Crystal Highway 6 West in Oxford. We're coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. Call the number 662-257-1900. Tell Corey Clark what new Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's that simple. No haggling, no hassles, right to the bottom line. Get your quote, and then you can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people there at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many other podcast listeners, self-included, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. Will make the deal even better. At the end of your deal, tell Corey that you heard about Clark Ford on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. It's $500 off the bottom line on your deal from Clark Ford in Amory. The podcast also brought to you by Community Mortgage. It's located in Oxford, Memphis, DeSoto County, and Chattanooga. It's 30 years old this year. It's one of the oldest mortgage companies in the Southeast. All of the underwriting and the processing is done in Memphis, so you're getting local underwriting that understands your market. It's also the leader in condo financing in the Oxford market. So ask Jason Lowe about Community Mortgage's float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you can get the lower rate. Send him an email, jlowe, that's J-L-O-W-E, at communitymtg.com. Now let's talk about the Major League Baseball draft. Again, Casey Mize, he'll pitch one final regular season start for Auburn this weekend. He may or may not appear at the SEC tournament in Hoover. And then the Tigers almost certainly in the NCAA tournament. Somewhere in there, he's going to find out whether he is the first pick in the Major League Baseball draft. It's either him or Brady Singer, the starting pitcher from Florida, in all likelihood. So we talked to Jason Mize on Monday after Auburn had been swept at Ole Miss. Get some thoughts on the Ole Miss team, the Ole Miss environment. Jason Mize, very complimentary of Swayze and the Ole Miss fan base after spending a weekend in Oxford watching his son's team play the Rebels. So we'll talk to Jason Mize now here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden. Jason, I appreciate you spending some time with us. First of all, I guess I'll kind of just get your thoughts on what these last few weeks, months have been like, just kind of overall as a dad, you and your wife as a family, with all of the talk about the first part of the draft and everything that comes with that, as you get closer to the draft, start after start, is it difficult to enjoy watching your son pitch and watching his team play when you know that the stakes are, at least from the outside looking in, the stakes are so high in the next few weeks?
You know, it's not. I mean, it's to me, we're going to keep on, you know, and like Casey and I have talked about a lot, you know, just stay in the moment and keep doing what you've done your whole life, really. I mean, you just keep going out and competing and doing the best you can for your team that you're on right now, which is Auburn, you know, and enjoy, you know, Auburn University and what Auburn has done for you, and, you know, do what you can for Auburn. But it is very exciting, you know, and it's kind of surreal. I mean, unbelievable almost. We never, you know, we've always known Casey was a good ball player, and he loves baseball and has the drive for it, but you never would imagine, you know, your kid would be in the talks of a, you know, number one pick or a top five pick. I mean, that's just kind of unbelievable, and I think it would be for any parent.
Yeah, when was the first time that, I mean, obviously you've been watching him since he was playing T-ball and stuff. When was the first time that you allowed yourself to think, or that maybe other people told you, no, he has a different type of talent? He's not just good, he's potentially really good.
You know, I really can't pinpoint it down. I mean, I think, which I always coached both my kids in travel ball when they were coming up. And Casey, we had a very good travel ball team at an early age. And the kids that I would bring to that team were kind of, you know, the kids that I thought could knock Casey out of a position. That's the kids I would look for, is who's better than my son, you know. And that's what we sought after for that team, and it wound up being a good team. But anyway, getting past that, I forget what age it was, maybe 13, 14 years old, somewhere around that point. I finally got past myself and said, you know what, he's better than what I am. He's going to be better than what I can give him as a father. He needs to, you know, to be put in contact with the right people. And so anyway, met up with a guy at a showcase in Birmingham, Alabama, as a matter of fact, and a guy was a coach for Team Georgia Baseball Academy, Chris McCraney. And Chris, you could tell right away, was very knowledgeable, had a lot to offer. And from that point on, the next season, Casey actually went over to, you know, I think he was 14, 15, somewhere around in there, to live with a host family in Georgia, and he spent his summers in Georgia playing for Team Georgia Baseball Academy.
That's a pretty smart move on your part. One, a lot of dads probably struggle to make when they have a talented kid that they're coaching on a travel ball team, to say, hey, he's to a place where I really can't help him anymore. I just need to quit being the coach and start being the dad. Was that tough to make, or did you say, no, this is an easy decision?
It was tough because I enjoyed it so much. I mean, I love coaching, love being around these kids, but, you know, it was, yeah, and I don't know, it was tough to do, but I knew it was the best thing for Casey, you know, because his talent level, I was seeing it kind of every year there would be a progression and what he could do. And what's funny is Chris actually recruited him to be a shortstop over there, and that's what Casey's came up, you know, being a shortstop, third baseman, and pitching a little bit as well. But Chris didn't even know he could pitch at the time. He got him as a shortstop on his team.
Last year he had the, I guess for lack of a better word, an injury scare a little bit. That anytime you hear from the outside looking in, you hear the word forearm, you think, oh God, he's got an elbow issue. When you first heard the diagnosis and they were talking about forearms, was that your concern, or did you have enough inside information that you knew that was not really what they were looking at the time?
I was concerned about it, of course, you know, like I said, from a parent standpoint. But Casey, when it first happened, he had had a long outing the weekend before, I forget what the pitch kind of went up to, but it wasn't terrible. But it was fatigue at that point. And, you know, they kept saying over and over he would re-injure his forearm or he would have another injury here, and then he injured it again when he went to Team USA. And that just wasn't the case. I mean, he never really took the time to rest. You know, I mean, he would try to – they would – Butch – did a fabulous job in what he did of resting Casey and trying to help him along. But, you know, Casey would try to take 2 weeks off or a week off here and there. And it's just, you know, you probably need to rest that, 4 to 6 weeks or so, and just give it an adequate time. And Casey's been very determined since, you know, when Casey went to Auburn, he weighed 175 pounds. And that was his big thing is he saw his velocity going up as well, and he's like, well, I need to put weight on. So that was a big thing for Casey, was putting the weight on, getting stronger, and, you know, because he knew, being a, you know, pretty high velo guy, that he needed to add weight to his body.
I want to ask you about a handful of his starts this year. He had the start at Florida against Singer, where there, I think someone said 14 – Major League Baseball GMs that were there that night. I don't know whether that number has been exaggerated a little bit. I've heard that the radar gun business was very clearly clearly doing well that night in Gainesville. What was that like, just that environment around a regular season SEC game where two guys that are very clearly at the top of the draft are pitching, quote, against one another, but to look behind the plate and see all of the guns, a lot of familiar faces. Was that a night when this suddenly kind of became real?
Yeah, it really was. I mean, it was kind of an electric atmosphere out there, and, you know, it was pretty neat to sit back and watch. I think I stood down in the corner of the right field line down there and watched, and it was pretty good stuff. I mean, it was cool. And like I said, we just try to take it as an exciting time in his life, you know, and that's the way we put it to him, is, man, these guys are coming to see you. That's cool. I mean, it's not any, it is pressure, but it, you know, try to take it like it's not. I mean, these guys are from all over the country, are taking time out of their lives and away from their families to come and watch you play baseball. Pretty neat experience.
In those environments, you as a parent, do you interact much with the baseball people? Do they talk to you much? I mean, I know there's more to these choices than you know, how hard a guy throws, his command, all that stuff. They want to know his makeup. They want to know, and I'll get to some of that in a minute. They want to know, you know, what's he like, what makes him tick, those kind of things. Have those conversations begun yet?
Not really. I mean, I've in passing talked to a few guys here and there, and you know, of course, I think they've had some on-campus meetings with him, you know, at times when the seasons went on, and they've tried to get to know him through that. But, you know, Casey's he's a pretty easy kid to get to know. And you know, if you watch him, I even watched him after this Ole Miss start, you know, and which was definitely, as you know, his worst start of the season. I mean, and he didn't make any excuses to me after the game. He just said, he simply said, you know, he said, I just couldn't get anything down tonight. He said, everything was up in the zone. And that was pretty much it. But even when he came off the mound, I watched him as a dad. And those are proud moments to me of, you know, I would keep looking over at him when he's in the dugout, and where he could have been over sitting in the corner by himself, you know, thinking, poor pitiful me. Casey's up on the rail. He's cheering on his teammates at that point. And that's just the kind of guy he is. You know, Casey wants to be a good teammate. He's just a good kid. And I know this is dad here, but I'm not one of those dads to really blow up my son. You know, he really is a good guy.
I was going to get to the Ole Miss start in a minute. You mentioned it, so I'll just go to it now. In many ways, I said this on our daily podcast, in many ways, those are the outings that the scouts are waiting to see. They know what he's like when he's dominant, like against Vanderbilt, for example, where he's just pitching a gem and it's a masterpiece and he's the player of the week and all of that stuff. In many ways, they, as an organization, they know that, you know, you've seen this. If you pitch enough, yeah, as an elite arm, you're going to have plenty of games where you're dominant and you you mow through a lineup. There are also going to be games where another team gets to you early. Maybe you don't have your stuff right out of the gate. Maybe another team just is dialed in and they pound you around a little bit. And the club says, hey, we need you to suck it up and give us six. We need six and a third. We need whatever. Our bullpen's tired. We've got a West Coast trip coming up. We've got to rest a bullpen, and you're going to go have to go wear one and go do it. So in many ways, as much as it wasn't fun probably for Casey, and it probably wasn't fun for you to watch, there were probably some scouts back in there, I'm guessing, and you tell me if you think I'm wrong, that were, okay, good, we get to see some adversity. Let's see how he handles adversity. Let's see how he can eat innings for his team in a game that has probably already gotten away from them. I would think that there was a lot of scribbling in the margins from guys who have watched him a lot, who are, you know, helping make decisions about investments of a lot of money and resources. How does this guy handle, how does he handle it when it gets rough? Because if you play professionally, and he will, obviously, and there's going to be moments when there's going to be games when, let's face it, another team's going to be dialed in and they're going to get him, and they're going to get him early, and he's going to have to stay out there and kind of wear one.
Yeah, that, and, you know, I don't know what the scouts think. As a matter of fact, and getting back off the subject, I guess, for a minute, in Florida, which I had one of the scouts, I don't even know who he was with. He asked me something about a pitch Casey threw. He was just standing by me down in right field, and I asked him after I told him, you know, what was going on. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, just trying to learn something about your job. I said, you guys, I said, you've seen video on Casey. You've been to all the games. I've seen you around. I said, why are you still coming? What are you looking for? I said, just tell me about your job. And he said that very thing. He said, we just want to see, you know, when he gets in, how he handles adversity, you know, when he gets in these jams, when he has all of us here looking, you know, how does he handle himself, you know, and we don't only want to see the good sides. We want to see the bad times too. And, you know, like I said, I don't know what they're looking for. I do know what I look for as a dad, just seeing what kind of, you know, man I've brought up here. And those are the things that make me the proudest, is not just the Vanderbilt outings, but it's the outings like he had the other night. You know, of course they can't happen often, but the outings like he had the other night, of how he handled himself, you know, after that. And even when he came out and he spoke to me, you know, he had a line of people out there waiting for him to sign baseballs and things like that. And he didn't bypass one of those people. And I thought, man, you know, and I just stand back and I look and I thought, well, that's cool that he can handle this enough, that he was down at a low point, of course. And for every kid and every adult standing there, there was one guy even chased him to the bus as he was getting on. And he turned around for him and signed that baseball and signed the, you know, program. And I thought, you know, his mom and I, we've done our part. And he's really turned into be a very good man.
As an aside, what's that environment like from the perspective of the opposing team? We always hear a lot about, you know, Ole Miss fans talking about the Swayze environment on the weekends like that when it's really rocking. What's it like from the other side? Is it kind of cool to look at? Is it obnoxious? What is it like?
We Ron and I, and we've even talked about this, and we enjoy going to Swayze. I mean, of course, yeah, it's a hostile environment when you're an opposing team coming in, but man, it's such a cool baseball place. I mean, the fans there, you know, of course they're cheering on their team, but as far as, you know, us being Auburn people and Auburn fans, they're great to us. I mean, I even had one guy that's a fan there. He was texting me before the game saying they were looking forward to seeing us. And it's just it's a really cool environment they have there. And I mean, it's from a baseball player standpoint, I couldn't, you know, imagine. What's funny is, our freshman year there, Casey was in the bullpen, and the kids out in right field, they were just, you know, yelling out stuff to him. And I think they find things out about him on social media and whatnot. And his mom, she was here and all that. Of course, you know, the nails come out, you know, from the mama standpoint, mama bear. and she asked him after the game, she said, oh, buddy, they were on you kind of hard over there. And, you know, when you were in the bullpen, was that rough on you? And Casey was like, Mom, he said, that was such a cool experience. That was so cool to have that happen, and they know who I am. So yeah, that's pretty neat.
The rumor is that a couple of them may have had a pop or two on by the time the game gets started on Friday night.
Right. You know, it's all in fun, and I think it's a great fan base there in Oxford, and they love baseball, and that's what I love about going there.
Has it been a – you mentioned Butch a little while ago. Has it been a little bit of a relief for you that I mean, look, he gets paid to win games, and he wants to win championships and that kind of thing, but that he's kind of kept him on his rotation. He's not messing with anything involving routine and that kind of thing right now, not just for the benefit of the team and for the games that he pitches. But, I mean, let's you know, I'm sure that Butch knows, you know, the position that Casey's in right now. Has that been just as a parent, has it been kind of a relief?
You know, Butch Thompson and his staff have been absolutely wonderful to us, to Casey. Of course, you know, we don't get involved. I don't call the coaches and complain about this and that, or we just don't. We don't mess with the coaches because we know what kind of load they got on them during the season. But the whole staff has been great to Casey, and yes, it's been a major relief to know that you've got a guy like Butch that is looking after your son. And it's not just my son. I see how he is with the other pitchers and how he takes care of them. And you know, if I'm a young kid in high school, and I, especially a pitcher, but from any kind of standpoint, you know, I'm really – Butch Thompson is taking very good care of his players throughout the season. And yes, that is a big-time relief. And not only, you know, from a baseball standpoint, the coaches they've got in that dugout from just, you know, the guys that, of course, you know, you raise them up till they get to college, and then, you know, those guys have them from there on out, and what they're building as far as from just the standpoint of building good men, I think is just unbelievable. Just, I've even, Casey and the way he talks and some of the things he says now in the interviews, I'm sitting there listening to him, and I'm like, man, he picked that up from Butch.
Do you guys know?
You can tell.
Do you guys know the Singers at all?
No, we don't.
Just was curious if you had just over the course of this had run into them. What about the Brady and Casey? Do they know one another yet?
I think just through competing, I don't think they really know each other though. I don't think they know each other at all. I may be wrong, but Casey hasn't mentioned it to us.
Do you guys as a family have plans for the draft yet? I know it'll be at a time that I'm sure you're hoping that he's getting ready for a regional and all that stuff. But have y'all talked about what your family plans are for the night of the first round?
We've talked about it, and we've asked Casey about it and asked him, did he want to have a big draft party and this and that? And he's like, well, you know, I'd really would like for it to be just more of a personal family type atmosphere, but we're looking at, you know, regionals and things like that. And of course, if it finishes on a Sunday night, which last year I think we went into Monday as well, they could be playing. And you know, if they're not in the middle of a game, you know, maybe wherever we're at, you know, we'll talk to the coaching staff and see what they want to do there as well. But maybe just something with the team and a few family members. You know, whether it be in a hotel conference room or wherever we're at, we would love to do it at home, of course, but I just don't think that's going to be possible with the way baseball is.
Have you given any thought to what it's going to be like for you just as a dad? When, I mean, you know, you say all the – and I know you mean everything you say, but when that moment comes and you hear your son drafted, whether it's 1-1 or 1-4 or 1-whatever, he's going – almost certainly going very early in the draft. Have you thought about what that moment, how that's going to hit you?
It's going to be a very proud moment, I'm sure. I mean, like I said, and he's not unique, I think, to the level he's at of the hard work he's put in. But, you know, Casey at a freakishly early age, it's always been what he wanted to do. I've got two boys, and my oldest son was a very good athlete. He just didn't have the drive and passion for baseball, what Casey's always had his whole life. And, you know, to see the work Casey's put in through, you know, through this, I mean, year after year from an early age on and up till, man, we're coming close to the finish line right here, and his hard work has definitely paid off. It's just a very proud moment. You know, and it's been a kind of, you know, the teacher's become the student here. I mean, because he's showing me now that what true, you know, of course, with God-given talent, but true hard work and determination and just passion, what you can do with that, you know. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a great moment for the whole family, you know, as just as far as, wow, I mean, you know, and it's unreal to me still now, and I have a hard time talking about it with people here at work and family and everybody. Man, they're talking about my kid being a number one pick or a top five pick or heck, a first rounder. I mean, that's big, and it's good to see that his hard work has really come to this.
Well, listen, I really appreciate your time. Congratulations to him. Maybe I'll run into you in Hoover in a week or so, and if I do, I'd love to say hello. But again, thanks for some time on the podcast here today.
Please do, Neil. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye. Our thanks to Jason Mize for his time today. Good luck to Casey as the draft approaches. They're a really nice family. Really appreciate him taking some time to share his insight on the podcast. It's a podcast that is also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. If you're a business with a high-ticket product or service, that's HVAC, dentist, surgeon, flooring, furniture, etc., Ben Brown and his team have the best financing solution for your customers. Their program accesses 14 national lenders with one very easy online application. With rates as low as 4.9%, terms that extend to 7 years, loan amounts up to $100,000, and credit scores down to 580, they'll get more of your customers the money they need so you don't lose a sale. To hear more about this, call Ben Brown, 443-935-5013. Ben's waiving the setup fee for Oxford Exxon podcast listeners. And also for Oxford Crystal Beer Garden listeners, that's a $500 savings, so call him today. The podcast also brought to you by Strategic Partners and Media. SPM is a full-service advertising agency that works with businesses of all types, big or small, Fortune 500 companies to startups. SPM can help your advertising needs for TV, radio, print, and every facet of social and digital media. Look, here's why SPM is really good and different than other ad firms. They handle everything in-house. They don't sub their work out. The writing, the production, and the editing is done solely by their staff and created uniquely for their clients. Lastly, an Ole Miss grad and a Mississippian is a partner in the firm, so give them a call and see just how great they are. It's Austin at StrategicPartnersMedia.com. Austin at StrategicPartnersMedia.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chase of Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. He knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. A popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time as the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail, which is sometimes called blackfish. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com, his Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817. So before we get to Evan Woodbury, I was thinking a little bit about the Major League Baseball draft. I was curious. I was born in 1970. I know that's hard to believe. When you look at me, you think there's no way I'm older than about 18, but yeah, I am. So I was curious, who was the first pick in the 1970 draft? The San Diego Padres had that pick, and they made a selection from this part of the country. That's the trivia question for this week. Tell me on Twitter, tweet the answer at me. Who did the San Diego Padres take with the first pick in the 1970 Major League Baseball draft? Send me that person's name, at Neil McCready on Twitter. Make sure you include at LB's Food Truck, hashtag Beer Garden. The first person to send that to me, it's a $25 gift certificate from LB's Meat Market. LB's Meat Market is in Oxford. It is right across from Kroger. The actual address is 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. Get in touch with Greg Jones. Tell him what you want. He'll have it ready for you. Or you can go in and browse around, look at all of the fresh cuts of meat, whether it's beef, chicken, pork, their sausages, fresh seafood from the Gulf. It's all there at LB's. It's grilling season as we get ready for the summer break. You want to check out those sausages. The summer sausages are fantastic. If it's just too hot one afternoon and you say, I just want something inside, LB's has that as well. When you go in to LB's, right up there on your left, there's a beer fridge. Grab a six-pack, make a sample pack, if you will, and tell Greg that you heard about LB's on the Beer Garden, and that six-pack of beer is just $6 instead of the usual $9. There at LB's Meat Market, again, 2008 University Avenue in Oxford, 662-259-2999. Now let's talk about the team that owns this year's first pick. It's the Detroit Tigers. Evan Woodbury joined to talk about the draft and a couple other things. A short interview with the Detroit Tigers beat writer for MLive.com. Take a listen. Evan, welcome back into the podcast. Won't keep you long today. I know you're in the middle of, as we were just talking before we got started, in the middle of the baseball grind. It's baseball at about the quarter pole, so you're just kind of getting started with the grind, but I know you got stuff to do, so I'm not going to keep you long. The Tigers at number one, a lot of talk about two of the big SEC arms down here. Casey Mize, I just got through talking to his dad on this podcast, and then Brady Singer from Florida. You're closer, obviously, to it. They're covering the Tigers. What do you hear about what the Tigers want to do with that pick as the draft approaches?
Well, I think it's definitely going to be one of the college arms. That's been what the Tigers like to do, not only in the early rounds, but even in some of the early and mid rounds. They love to stock up on college arms. And this year, you know, there's not a consensus that everybody knows who's going to be number one. There's not a Strasburg or a Bryce Harper or something like that where it's obvious to everyone what's going to happen. I think there are, you know, the conventional wisdom has been it's going to be that Mize is the guy that the Tigers are eyeing, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised by Singer either. And the only thing that probably surprised me is just the position players, just because their strategy organizationally has been to stock up on the arms. They've got a really nice, what they hope will be a rotation of the future brewing in the rotation right now, and to be able to add another elite arm to that bunch, I think they'd really like to do. So, you know, I know they had about a gazillion scouts and executives watching Mize and Singer the other day, or the other couple of weeks ago when they faced off against each other. I know they've had the GM and a ton of executives all over SEC country watching those guys. My gut is that it'll be Mize, but that's just because it's conventional wisdom right now, and you know, conventional wisdom can be wrong too.
In your opinion, and again, I know you don't necessarily know, if there were a Bryce Harper or a Mike Trout or a Chris Bryant, that type of a, you know, kind of an elite, almost major league ready bat that were available here at one, would they go that route instead of the pitcher, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, it is kind of when the Tigers landed the number one pick after finishing obviously with the tied for the worst record in baseball last year, which was the way the season crashed last year, was kind of expected. I don't think they really anticipated ending up having the number one pick, but things went down the tubes pretty quickly in August and September. This is the kind of year where you would love it if there was a type of guy like a Bryce Harper, where a kind of, you know, transformational player that you know, that you can build an entire organization and team around. And they're just, I don't think the consensus is that exists in that this year. That doesn't mean, you know, that some of the players won't turn out to be good or even great or even elite Major League Baseball players, but there's just not a consensus number one transformational player at the top of the board. And so that's why I think there's probably a little bit more doubt about how the Tigers are going to go. But, you know, I just go back to the organizational philosophy of just stocking up college arms. And when you got a couple really good ones to choose from at number one, you know, I think that's the direction they're going to go.
This could be a Detroit team that's kind of back in a similar spot a year from now. Do you anticipate, from what you're seeing, that they were sellers last year at the deadline? Do you anticipate them selling again this July?
Yeah, absolutely. The only problem, I guess, is just that there's going to be so many sellers right now. And it looked that way going into the season. Very little has changed that would change that outlook. Not only are there going to be a lot of sellers, I'm not sure how many buyers there are going to be. There's a lot of races that, if you look at them, there's only going to be a handful of teams that are going to look at the market and say, you know what, we really, really need this guy to get over the top to make the playoffs. There are just so many teams that are going to be clear-cut playoff eligible and a bunch of teams that are going to be trying to sell. So I'm not sure there's going to be a whole lot of the market this summer. We'll see. The Tigers, they made a couple of nice deals last year. The Justin Verlander trade, which no one saw coming there at the last minute. They got some really top-level prospects. The Tigers' current starting third baseman, Jamer Candelario, they got from the Cubs, which in retrospect looks like a great trade because Justin Wilson has struggled for the Cubs, and Alex Avila, hasn't hit as well since he left the Tigers. So, there are deals to be made, but I'm just skeptical it's going to be a real hot market given the way this MLB season seems to be shaping up.
I told you I won't keep you long, and I won't, but you see Major League Baseball every day. You're around a team. You see baseball every single day. Tom Verducci has some numbers that are out pretty recently. Maybe it was yesterday that these came out. Per game rates in Major League Baseball this season, pitches are at an all-time high. Pitches per plate appearance at an all-time high. Strikeouts at an all-time high. Balls in play at an all-time low. Sacrifices all-time low. Singles all-time low. Hit batters at a 118-year high. Stolen bases at a 46-year low. Hits at a 46-year low. You see the game day in and day out. Twofold, did those numbers surprise you? And then secondly, are those numbers bad for the game?
The second answer, yes, I think so. But it seems like it's been an irreversible, unstoppable trend over the last several years that just it's like a ball rolling downhill. It's there have been efforts to try to do something about it, and it just hasn't been done. I actually, for as much mockery of the commissioner for some of the pace of play proposals, I actually think some of those have been positive. And even little things that people griped about, like the intentional walk, is now something that we just accept without thinking. They have done little things to cut out some dead spots here and there. They've cut some time between innings, but the actual gameplay, the within the rhythm of the game, I think has been hurt by the lack of balls in play. I mean, the doubles and triples that are exciting, the lack of action when you have long at bats, walks, strikeouts. And obviously people still like home runs, but there is a tipping point at which that loses some of its value as well. So I think the scary part is that I'm not sure what you really can do, just because these have been trends that are starting from a very young age, where you've got power arms and on the pitching side, and then obviously the emphasis on power and launch angle on the hitting side. I think if there were an easy solution, they would have had it by now. But I do think it is troubling for the game that there is that kind of, the lack of in-game action, the lack of balls in play. I think that's something that needs to continue to be discussed.
Yeah, I do too. I watch it a lot, and the game maybe has sped up a little, but it's kind of tougher to watch because all of the counts go long. There's lots of strikeouts and all that stuff, which is just the pitching is phenomenal, but sometimes the game is tougher to watch. Well, hey, I kept you longer than I said I would. I really appreciate the time. Good luck on the beat. Big fan of your work, and I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
All right, sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Evan. Our thanks to Evan Woodbury for his time today on the show, and again, our thanks to Jason Mize for his time as well. Don't know what the plan for next week is on the podcast. It's SEC baseball tournament. I'll be leaving for Hoover as early as Tuesday, possibly Wednesday. So we'll try to get something to you. It's going to be a weird week at MPW Digital with me traveling. Chase has some stuff going on as well. So we'll try to get something to you early. Not sure how that's going to work. But we'll work on some stuff, maybe something a little different. on the Beer Garden. I hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy with one of the last, I guess, school weekends of the year, the final weekend of the SEC baseball season, the Preakness, and more. There's a lot going on, so we'll come back. We'll catch up here on the Oxford Crystal Beer Garden next week. So until then, take care.